Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 80 years ago this month, World War II came to an end following the surrender of Japan. The day was met with widespread jubilation in the United States, from Times Square to San Francisco. But in some cases, the celebrations turned violent, even deadly, including the Bay Area, which became known as the Peace Riots. However, nobody was officially held accountable for the chaos and the destruction. Now, a new work of historical fiction from a local author is shedding light on how the peace riots were or should have been covered in the news, as well as the larger role of women in the male-dominated field of 1940s journalism. The book is called An Unlikely Prospect, and it officially releases tomorrow. A launch party will also take place tomorrow, Tuesday, at Magpie Cafe in downtown Sacramento. The author, Shelley Blanton Stroud, joins us now. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you joined us a couple years ago, shortly after the release of your previous novel, Poster Girl, which is also set during World War II. What is it about historical fiction and this time period that excites you?
You know, it starts with personal stories that, you know, in the beginning when I started to write fiction, it was pretty much inspired by family stories that took place during the Dust Bowl. So what happened was I got into that space and then became very avid about it. I became a little obsessed, and it turned into the kind of situation when you're building a world set in such a time, then more stories start revealing themselves, and they're so tempting, I can't fight it.
The fact that it's a historical fiction, it almost feels like a parallel universe to a time in history that actually did happen.
That's right. One of the bizarre things that has been hitting me lately when I reflect on this book and the times we're living in is that sometimes when you write about things like the peace riots, you think, is this believable? Will people reject these scenes as having been unlikely to have taken place? And now I find myself thinking, do I go far enough in my fiction to surprise anybody? Because things that we see in the daily news every day sound more shocking even than true events that would have been unthinkable before.
So Poster Girl, your last novel, was published back in 2023. Once you crossed that finish line, did you already start thinking about this upcoming novel, An Unlikely Prospect, and bringing it to life?
Yeah, I really had been thinking about two things at once. One was I'd done a trilogy featuring the same protagonist, Jane Benjamin, whom I kind of adore. But honestly, I got a little tired of living in her head and wanted to live inside someone else's head instead. And so I was thinking, could I move to a new protagonist, and decided it would be Sandy Zimmer. Part of that shift happened pretty quickly after Poster Girl, which was seeing a famous photograph of Washington Post publisher Katharine Graham. The photograph appears in a book called The Only Woman in the Room. And it shows her in a bright blue suit sitting at a massive board table where every other inhabitant is a man wearing dark brown or gray or black. And I thought, I would really like to look at a woman who is in the rooms where power is wielded at a time when women didn't wield it so much. So that kind of got me shifted.
Right, because your main character, Sandy Zimmer, is a widow that's thrust into becoming the publisher of a struggling newspaper, the San Francisco Prospect. Did Sandy, or a version of Sandy, exist in the 1940s in San Francisco?
No, not in San Francisco. Sandy says at some point in the novel that she's one of three female publishers in the country. And that's true. There were very few of them. And one of them gets called out in this novel as well. In particular, though all kinds of things described in the peace riot scenes are taken directly from the newspapers. I mean, directly. The violence that took place, all of that is based in fact. But I'm the kind of historical novelist who writes fiction. So what I tend to do is to get inspired by events, locations, and figures. And then those figures that I need to be a compelling protagonist or character will probably require me to have them do dastardly things. And I don't really like to do that to a real person who did not do those things. So though there is room for that in historical fiction, kind of alternate history.
Remind us what happened during the peace riots.
Well, you know, the scenes that everybody's seen photographs of in magazines and documentaries and so on, where people went out on the streets celebrating all across the world. And mainly it was just, you know, an expression of joy. For some reason, there was a combination of stimuli in the San Francisco celebration that made it turn into kind of like, I think of it like a massive wilding, where it begins in celebration, where I've even met some people who were there as young children with their families early in the first day. And to them, it was like everybody was just celebrating. But at a certain point, a lot of the retailers, you know, business people up and down Market Street in San Francisco started selling bottles of alcohol. And there were so many young sailors in San Francisco. It was a point of disembarkation, living right there, preparing to get on ships to the Pacific and to fight. And when they got this news, you're not going to be going, you're not going to be fighting, they immediately started celebrating. Then you add on to it all of that alcohol and the fact that even the police department was diminished by wartime absence of men. So they had auxiliary members of the police. So there was a combination of this combustible mix of emotion along with not as much authoritative control of circumstances.
I mean, there were really serious incidents of violence, even rape, of women during these peace riots. How did you approach talking about these really sensitive, dangerous, traumatic incidents through historical fiction?
It was difficult for me. There were over 1,000 people were hospitalized, 13 were killed, and at least 6 women were raped. And when I started doing that research, of course, the women all disappeared. No one has any of their names. None of their stories have been put to paper or any other format, recorded or anything like that. And they suspected at the time that others were raped as well. But women were not coming forward to have their stories told. It was in the paper just a little bit that there were claims in the hospitals of women. So it was a very stressful moment for me as a writer, because you need to be careful about the point of view and the sensitivities of your characters. And I do not personally know what those women went through. So I wound up, and there's very little historically about rape victims, but one book that really helped me, the author's name jumps right out of my head, but it was called The Trauma Beat. It's fairly contemporary, and this person, who's a journalist, made the point of this book: what effect does it have on victims of violence when they're visited by journalists really soon after the violence? And I learned so much in that more contemporary set of oral histories that it wound up changing my novel and let me focus on that question: what is it right to do as a reporter when you're facing someone who's been through something like this?
Journalism is center stage in this book. How does the story of an unlikely prospect, the peace riots, the deaths, the violence, the sexual violence that unfolded, reflect the role that journalism played during this time in the 1940s?
I think it reflects on the role it played then and now. One of the big questions for Sandy, our publisher, is when she and her reporters begin to see evidence of the things that have happened out on the street, the question is, can they, will they report the details of that violence? And so even though it's very clear to Sandy that morally and intellectually they have an obligation to report the truth, she's also a human being. And so she looks at the effect of that truth on the people involved, including the rape victims. So it begins to get more complicated. I think that if I were asking myself, what would I want readers of this novel who are thinking about the state of journalism today, what would I want them to consider as they walked away from the book? Part of it would be that we would refresh our sense that journalists must tell the truth. They must rely on facts. And part of the goal of that is to hold the powerful to account. It's one of the roles of journalism. But also, I wouldn't want readers to feel kind of purist about it, like that's that. Because newspapers and reporters and radio stations have to make decisions all the time about what is it right to report right now. Is this something that we have to wait on for very real reasons? And it turns out that every book I've written so far has that question about the sticky place between fact and fiction, about secrets and reporting.
The fact that it is a historical fiction, is there a wishfulness when you're writing a story like The Unlikely Prospect, because you're talking about women in journalism at a time when there was not very many women in journalism, let alone leadership positions, but women really lead your novel. So are you telling history as you hope it would have been remembered or played out?
Oh my goodness, it's absolutely true that inventing Sandy Zimmer and inventing Jane Benjamin, her kind of sidekick in this novel, and inventing the San Francisco Prospect, I'm indulging in some wish fulfillment, absolutely. And because I write historical fiction, I like to make it clear in the author's note, these are the parts that have happened, we know they happened, and these are the part where I'm stepping in and fictionalizing. Many of those characters are inspired by real-life people, but as I said, I need to make them make bigger mistakes than the real-life people did. But it's absolutely indulging my desire for a world where women get to use their voices as effectively as possible.
Finally, we only have about 30 seconds left. We have to wind this conversation down, but you do have a launch party tomorrow at Magpie Cafe. What would you like people to know?
Well, I'm really, really thrilled about it. It's just an opportunity to celebrate. Magpie, my friends, Ed and Janelle, are creating a menu that's based on food in the novel. And so I'm really excited about that. And I get the chance to be in conversation with Carla Meyer, a local writer who's worked for The Bee and for The Chronicle and where the newspaper where I grew up in Bakersfield. So we have that in common. So I'm really much looking forward to that celebration, though there are many other opportunities to interact with me in the book in the next few weeks.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Shelley, and congratulations on another edition of Historical Fiction.
Thanks so much for having me and for being such a supporter of the arts locally.
Yeah, it's the fabric of our community. Thank you so much. Shelley Blatten-Stroud is the author of the new historical fiction novel, An Unlikely Prospect. It releases tomorrow. The book tells the story of a female newspaper publisher and the response to the 1945 peace riots in San Francisco after the end of World War II. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. Have a great day.